captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
Hey fam, welcome back to New Girl, Old Guy for Season 5, Episode 1. Can you believe it? I am neither the new girl nor the old guy. My name is Ally Lasher, and I am joined by the titular old guy, a man who may or may not have moments before we started recording lost track of his sleeping infant, Akiva Winokur.
Yeah, my wife came in, and she said the baby was on the bed, passed out on the bed, and I'm like, nah. I don't remember that. And then I guess he woke up at some point and one of the girls, I don't know. Anyway, she would be yelling if like he was just missing, you know. I don't think there's a missing baby in the house. I'm sure he's accounted for.
Yeah, you seemed quite unbothered for someone who was just told they've been watching but not watching.
Nah, cuz I wasn't. I wasn't watching. Someone else had him, I think.
I feel like I said Season 5, Episode 1, Can You Believe It, which made it seem like the name of this episode is Can You Believe It. The name of this episode is Big Mama P, originally aired January 5th, 2016. Keeve, setting the tone for Season 5 here, what are your initial thoughts?
Is Cece's mom referred to as Big Mama P in this episode?
I believe Jess, maybe, in the conversation with her and Schmidt about getting approval from...
Why don't we don't see much of Jess with Big Mama P, right?
Because I think like sort of the episode, the premise of the episode is built all along the like tension and suspense of waiting for the moment where Big Mama P encounters Schmidt, and she kind of can't encounter anybody else before that, or the tension is like unresolved.
Right, but there's not even like a hi
Cece.
Like, hi, Cece, like, what's going on? You're my daughter's best friend, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, I feel that a little bit when, like, at the very end of the episode, Cece finally confronts her mom and defends her love for Schmidt. Like, you know, that probably would have been dealt with beat one in real life and not, like, the musical attempt first.
Right.
But it's a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little old business before we get to the digestive.
Okay. What's
Would
that?
You be offended if I told you or someone told you that your face didn't match your voice? Do we feel like that's a compliment, an insult, or nooch?
They're saying about me?
Just it would one be offended by that?
No, because I've got it before.
Okay, so I will tell you that new listener Jess wrote in to tell us that your face didn't match your voice in her mind so much that she went to your other podcast to confirm that she was looking at the right photo of you.
I mean, can Jess write in and say what you thought I looked like? Maybe draw a picture?
I would love, if you want to submit a photo, I believe my DMs are open on Twitter, at Lash Tweets.
Welcome, Jess. When people would meet me for the first time at Rob Has a Podcast events, they would often say, oh, you sound much taller. So I would get that a lot. And someone used to mix me up for Roy Wood Jr., who just did the White House correspondence dinner, who also used to podcast with Rob. If you remember Rob, Roy, I think Roy Wood Jr. and Terrell Owens did a podcast together one year.
Yeah.
RHP has like a long, you know, like, do you know this thing happened? Like the new school people probably don't remember, but like there's some crazy stuff that happened.
Okay, is that, those are two, before we get back to this, two rap ideas potentially baked in there. Is there anything in oral history of the Rob and T.O. show?
I don't think so. I don't think T.O. remembers doing it, probably.
You're not putting Lindsay on, like getting in touch with every single person who was tangentially.
I think, that would be tough for her. Roy Wood Jr. seems to be doing pretty well.
I mean, making an entertaining product out of the Sleepover podcast, I think, is the most difficult job at all. It's a cakewalk.
Yeah, but at least, like, the people willing to talk, you know, here you might have a tough time wrangling them.
All right, and then do you solicit write-ins of RHAP historical events that new school, that, you know, Gen Z, RHAP people may not be familiar with that you then explain?
I mean, that would be more of a Rob podcast. Wouldn't really need to have anything to do with me, but... That would be like a cool.
Well, that could be any right now,
but yeah, but I think there could be like Rob could do like 10 things that, you know, you might not know happened in RGPS3 or something like that. I don't know. That would be fun.
Anyway, Jess is on episode, I think she said like 34 when she wrote in this question. Will we finish the podcast before we get a written submission from her on what she thought you looked like?
Basically, will she submit it? Because I don't think she's going to submit it after the podcast.
Well, no. She's on episode 34, so she won't hear this episode, which is, episode 96, around the high 90s.
I mean, how quickly is she binging, though? If she's on 34, did she start last week? Like, she could get there in a few weeks. This is a short show.
I don't know. A lot of, well, it's funny. She wrote that these episodes are delightfully long, which is why it's taking her a long time. I feel like back in the day, maybe they were a little bit longer.
No, I mean, maybe they were, but also I think, like, I don't know, some people listen to like NPR type shows that are 20 minutes, you know? How
also
long is
more,
the daily?
Guess.
So, I don't know.
What's your current podcast consumption looking like? Can we get a check in 2023 and where you're at with podcasts?
Yes, I don't really get to listen to podcasts. At work, I can listen to music sometimes, but not podcasts because I interrupt it too often for that. And
I feel like the commute is your prime time, no? What
it
do you do
would
on the commute?
Be, but I do the Talmud on the way to work.
Classic.
And the way back, I usually just like try and like close my eyes with music. Podcasts are like too interesting. They keep me awake, you know?
Can I ask a personal question about davening?
Please, yes.
Well, I don't know if that's davening. Study, Talmudic study.
Yes.
Daily Talmudic study. What are you doing there? Are you reading? Or are you annotating? You considering? What's involved?
Well, it's a page a day, but a page takes like 45 minutes, and because there's a lot going on, it's not in English or in Hebrew, and I listen to a class and I follow along.
Oh, that's nice.
I have the same guy every time.
And is that like you could subscribe, or that's like via your
Yeah, I subscribe. Or... Although I did like, you know, he grew up in this. He's like, I mean, not grow up, but he's like from the same place. I did text him and say like, oh, add me to the group chat, whatever. I didn't get a response, so I don't know.
You know this man personally?
Not. I mean, I think he drove me home from a Jet game once. I think that's the only time we ever met. But yeah.
Oh, but like if like there was a Moho in Los Angeles, like would they like go to this person? Like, is it a famous person, or you know this person because like you subscribe because you are tangentially connected to him?
No. It had nothing to do with tangential connection. I just tried a bunch the first week that it started, like 4 years ago, and I picked this one.
Okay, when NGOG ends, should we revive New Girl, Old Guy, and I do a page of Talmudic study a day?
New Girl, Old Talmud?
Yeah, like a new Goy or Gentile wants to jump in here, but that's not applicable. Mm.
Allie from the editing room, Jew Girl, it's right there. Jew Girl, back to the show.
Do you think we would lose? I mean, I'm guessing we'd have zero listeners left, but
I don't know. I feel like sort of there would be some hangers on. I mean, it would ultimately be the same thing. We would maybe tangentially discuss the material. Uh-huh. And
do you think even like producer Kelly? I'm not sure she'd stick around for New Girl, Old Talmud.
I think she'd be into it.
She'd be into it.
Is that accessible to like a mid-tier modern, probably reform adjacent Jewish person in the U.S.? Like, would I be out of my depth here, or
I don't
like
think
is there
you'd be
beginner
out of your
Talmud?
I wouldn't start there, but I don't think you'd be out of your depth. No.
Okay, this becomes like I make an Orthodox conversion. I mean, I wouldn't have to convert. I would just have to be like living a life. Yeah, I got to go through like the mikvah or something.
Tshuva. No, you don't have to go to the mikvah. You're Jewish.
Yeah, but like I've got some cleansing to do if I'm gonna become like
Orthodox. Oh, I mean you. Yeah, I guess.
Like routine cleansing.
Nah, I think you'd be fine.
Interesting. Want to hear a crazy story?
Yeah, please, please.
So I was at a bachelorette party this weekend, for a law school friend. Only one other girl I knew. So it was like meeting a lot of new people. Great time.
Do you think you're fringe in this group?
Well, it's more just like her friendships are siloed. She's got friends from home, college, where she lives
now. So it's not a friend group. It was a big mishmash. No,
it was like two, three. I don't think anybody really knew more than like two or three of the girls.
Got it. That could be a fun group.
Yeah, it was really nice. And I like knew one of her college friends because she had visited her at law school. So seeing her again, like it, you know, whatever. Pretty standard fare. So, we're in an Uber on the way to dinner. And we've been, like, drinking by the pool. And this girl, I'll cover up sensitive details in case any of our, like, five listeners are connected to this story. But basically, she was, like, telling a story about a guy that she, like, had a crush on when she was in her teens, early teens. And, like, it was sort of like a will they, won't they for an extended period of time. And, like, he used to work at that hospital. And, like, he was the nicest guy. And, like, you know. Talking probably too much about him, but like as one is wont to do when they've had a few drinks and you're in a car with people you don't know. So you're just like chatting generally. Right. In this conversation, she says his first and last name, but like whatever. Uber pulls over, drops us off. Uber driver goes, by the way, I'll tell, this isn't his name, but I'll tell Adam that you said hi. He's my cousin.
Oh, wow.
Is that not crazy? We all had like full body chills.
It's funny. And it wasn't a generic name. His name wasn't like Adam Smith, because Adam is a generic
name. No. It was definitively obvious name.
And she said bad stuff about him?
No, she was glowing. Like, the only part that was uncomfortable is how glowing she was about someone she knew 10 years ago. Like, but it wasn't embarrassing. Like, it was just crazy.
That is crazy. People make fun of me. Like, I get all this time at work, my wife, my parents, everyone makes fun of me for, like, whispering sometimes, like, assuming the walls have ears. And I feel like this story validates my whole life, you know?
Akiva, I was just going to say the same thing. Would you believe it? When she said his last name, I had the reaction of, like, I bet the Uber driver is going to know it. Like, you never know who this person could know. I'm not kidding.
For sure. No,
I
for
had
sure.
that reaction. At one point, the Uber driver took his sunglasses off, and I was like, is he paying more attention here? Like, what's going on? I'm constantly afraid. Actually, my mom did such a gaffe. Like, I couldn't believe it in a Broadway show recently. And then we'll get into the show, but this is actually a really good story. My mom, you'll know this since you're such a body shamer for anyone who listened to Accepted.
What?
My mom goes, oh, I'll use fake names, like our cousin, her cousin. She's like, oh, Cindy's daughter's friend is in the show. We are in the audience of a crowded theater about to start the show. Everybody's sitting down. My aunt goes, oh, Cindy's daughter's friend is in the show. I wonder who she is. She's a heavier woman. She's young, but she's a heavier girl.
Oh, no.
And I go... And then she said her name. She was like, I think her name's Megan. And I'm like, her mother could be in the row in front of you. And like, probably is. Like, people go here all the time. Like, how do you just shout that out? And my mom goes, well, I'm a heavier woman. I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's accurate or if you associate with that.
Right.
You know, like, can you imagine if you're sitting here waiting to see your daughter on Broadway and someone just like screams out like,
is it the fat one?
The heavy girl. Like,
yeah. That is funny.
And then she goes, this is my mom's classic. When she gets called out for doing something, she goes, don't make me feel bad. Like, no, you made you feel bad. You did this.
That is pretty funny. Yeah, but it really validates my whole life experience because my wife has been annoyed. Like, I'll do this in my own house. You know what I mean? Who knows who's outside the door listening? I'm not like, you know, I'll say a last name in the house, but like, if we're on the street, like, you know, they could hear. So
this has happened to my mom multiple times. She's been at restaurants. She's been flapping her gums about people. And then later, people come up to her and are like a friend of that person. And they don't say that. They're just like, oh, my God, Judy, we've met, blah, blah. And then she has to worry for a month. Like, I wonder if they heard when I was like shit talking the person who knows them.
The craziest version of this, and although it is totally crazy, when you consider like how small the Orthodox Jewish world is, it becomes a little less crazy. But I went out to a Chinese restaurant with my friend Hemi. And He was asking me about like
our friend Hemi.
Our
I'm
friend
not Hemi.
Hemi, who he was asking me about some family drama, like about you know relatives that we hadn't like we'd sort of lost touch with, hadn't spoken to in many years, and at some point deep into the conversation, I realized him and his wife were like right behind us, like at the next table.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Lesson learned.
Mm-hmm. And like I've never been in that. I mean, he didn't live in that town. And I'd, like, never been before or after to the town where we were.
Well, now you can't ever show your face there again, so.
Well, I guess that's the only place I can, because my cousin, you know, doesn't, anyway.
Actually, this just happened to me on the Challenger Hap-Up. I mean, that's the only time where I'm not careful, because I have to be talking about the people on the show. And then occasionally, somebody who is on the show slides into your DMs or sends you a tweet, and I hate getting caught. Like, I know that when I'm saying something, anybody could be listening, and I'm conscious of that. Mm-hmm. But I am going to be true to the material, like, to the TV show and to what I think about it. Mm-hmm. And I try not, I don't do any, like, vicious personal attacks. But if I don't like the game somebody's playing, I'm going to say that. But when somebody on the show messages me, even if they're very, very nice, which is what happened this week, I'm like, I'm busted. I feel, like, horrible about it.
Yeah, well, that's probably much more likely to happen now that the worlds have mixed up a little bit with the CBS reality people, right?
Yeah, well, like Danny from Survivor. What is so funny is
like Johnny Bananas doesn't know who you are, probably.
I wouldn't say he knows who I am. Brian's interviewed him before, like.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, maybe Wes or whatever. No, actually, most of these people are nurses. Probably.
I would agree
out.
With the sentiment of what you're saying, which yes, is they definitely yeah. aren't listening. Like, right. whether they know it exists tangentially, they're certainly
right.
not listening.
They're much
to
less
it.
Likely to. Who knows individual people, but in general, you know, Turbo has probably never heard your show, whereas, like, some of the CBS people, who knows?
Danny from Survivor now on the channel and then Challenge USA and now the Challenge World, whatever, is what's so far. I've been a little bit harsh on his game the whole season, but I think in a fair way. And this week I like read a tweet. He quote tweeted someone. And I was like, this person has like 500 followers and didn't even use like their correct hashtag. And then I followed Danny to try to verify whether like he knew this person, like followed them directly. And I'm like, is Danny like searching any mention of the challenge in any tangentially related hashtag? And we like chuckled about it. And of all the corrections Danny could write into issue, like all of our critique of his game, he's like, hey, that guy's my cousin. I was dying. Very, very good sport. But I felt very embarrassed, as I deserve to.
That is funny. But he was not your Uber driver.
His cousin? I don't believe so. I can't confirm that I've never been in a vehicle with one of Danny's relatives, but not to my knowledge.
So next time you do a bachelorette party, make up fake names. Like if someone's going to like, hey, my ex-boyfriend, fake name. And do it the whole weekend.
I mean, for all I know, she was using a fake name and just that fake name hit. And then she didn't want to be embarrassed
that
by
would be funny.
Telling us it was a lie.
What if the guy was insane and a liar? What if like his cousin's not Adam Smorgasbord, you know?
So it wasn't Russian, but I'll say Russian. She said that he was Russian. Mm-hmm. And then the Uber driver held up a text message that he had sent with the guy's name in the context and the language in Russian. So it would be a very specific lie.
Yeah, that would be.
Like, he'd have to have somebody with this pretty specific name.
Oh, so
name
I thought he
phone.
Said at the end of the ride. You guys are still in the car with him. And
well,
you're
he
reeling.
Said it at the end of the ride, and then we were like, what the hell? And then he held up his phone and was like, yeah, I just texted him.
And are you guys reeling at that point? Because you're also probably drunk.
Well, we weren't drunk, but
I'm saying
yes.
You got to be, like, in you know, shock.
Oh, we were stunned.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right, well, let's get to this episode, because I thought, you know, pretty fun episode. Why don't you give us the digest? Oh, wait,
okay.
I'm sorry. No, you know what? Forget. David, no, wrote in, David wrote in to talk about the office proposal that I described 2 weeks ago. And apparently office ladies talked about it, but didn't really, like, address the logic behind the proposal. So, David, just I appreciate you following up on that. But, all right, let's get to the digest.
Yeah, pretty simple. Jess is going to be asked to be Cece's maid of honor. Schmidt is going to ask Nick to be his PM, his best man. And, you know, we're going to meet for the first time ever Big Mama P. Cece's mom comes in from India. She has two moms, as we find out. And we have an engagement party with, this is probably the most expensive, unless they pay Taylor Swift or Prince a lot of money, the most expensive episode of the show, because we have a huge dance number in the towards the end of the episode. Wild.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look. I was trying to look. I feel like I heard at some point that this was like a real dance troupe, but I can't verify
that. I wouldn't be
that.
Surprised, because they're very organized, and they probably like did a dance there, you know, or something, and just put Schmidt and Nick and stuff in.
Now, I think I'm wrong about that. And, you know, like, TV shows can do choreography. But, yeah, nothing on IMDb about that. I did mean to look more into that, but usually if it's not on IMDb, I had my search there. Cut to the one-star review of, like, Allie barely looks into things. She literally said after
IMDb. Eva was snoring, and Allie wouldn't even IMDb.
Should Winston feel a type of way where, like, Nick is Nick is Schmidt's best man. Jess is Cece's maid of honor. I feel like they try to loop Winston in, but, like, with Coach gone now, he is kind of this, yeah, as you said, fifth wheel, odd man out.
It's tough. But listen, at the end of the day, they're all friends. But yeah, I'm sure it is a little like he was in on the, saying no to Schmidt asking him to be the, maid of honor, the best man. He's clearly, we don't see it in this episode. He's not complaining about it, but I feel a little bad for him. I had that thought, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, if he were marrying like Fawn and Nick were the best man, I don't think it would like stand out as much. But he's sort of the outlier here, and you know, instead of the usual treatment of Winston, which is he's just sort of in the background, they give him something to do this episode. We find out that off camera he saved a kid's life and is now getting like local recognition for being the carport hero.
I think there's a couple things happening here. One, he didn't have a storyline, so they shoehorned in. I mean, he saved the kid's life like in the off season, right? And they're just showing us like almost like highlights of it. Two, I wonder, like, what the situation with police was like. We need to make this guy, like, the good cop, you know, more likable. So they have this. Like, who knows what's happened in the 5 months before, you know, since the season ended. So I think there's a little bit of both those things going on.
Yeah, like, who knows what happened. Like, we could very easily know by looking
it up. I don't
know
off the top of my head what year it was, so I don't know. But, like, it actually worked. It worked better than a lot of, like, C storylines, but I we'll see if it continues throughout the season that he is like this celebrity cop.
Yeah, it wasn't, political events of the time were not in the IMDb, so I ended my search there, as I previously mentioned. Mm-hmm. Jess declares this the year of us. Kiwi, can we declare season 5 New Girl Old Guy? I guess, is it season 5 New Girl Old Guy? Whatever. Is this the season of us?
This is the season of us. I agree.
Could you sing it for us?
Start me off.
It's the
Eye of the Tiger.
No, could you sing it like just?
I don't remember the song.
The whole episode just is like, it's the year of us. Like, just
beautiful. Okay. Voice of an angel.
Could you give us
a sample?
You could
be on Broadway one day with someone's mom, like, making cracks about your appearance.
What are you trying to say?
Someone's mom. I said you have a great voice.
Give us a rendition of Kiwi's version of the season.
Can I ask one more question about that story? So, like,
I'm not gonna. You have to sing.
Well, I'll sing after. Okay. So you're like,
That was very dad vibes. We'll sing
I've
after.
I've made very clear that I agree with your point, but also like, if someone's on Broadway, unless they're an understudy, like their parents don't come to every show or even most shows, probably. You know.
I'm not saying there's 100% chance. I'm not even saying there's a 50% chance they're in the audience.
But no,
if there's 1% that's a show where cousin Rita was in town and came to see her, like,
yeah.
Also, when you say unless you're the star, like, I think if you're an ensemble member, you're more likely to have people coming all the time because it's not like Sutton Foster. Like, I'm her best friend.
Break.
I've seen her 1,000 effing times. I don't need to get to this production.
Exactly. Right. I hear you.
Just kidding. I would see her 100 times a show.
You think the Jude, if you were like the fourth lead, would come every night?
Fourth lead is a major
role.
Okay,
fine. You have like I don't know your, I don't know any Broadway people. I only know
I do not think that there is a high likelihood that any of her friends or relatives were in earshot of my mom and paying attention, but it's more likely than you're at a general restaurant in a town that the person doesn't live in, and that person ended up being at your restaurant. So. Right. It's not zero. All right, let's hear the singing.
It's the season of us.
Wow.
I don't remember the rest of the song.
That's it. When I was a younger editor in season one of NGOG, I would have cut that clip and put it as like the outro every week, but I'm tired. Maybe I should cut. Should I replace it? I don't know that you know this, but between the end of the episode and the outro song, we have still little Yosef's voice saying, "See ya, wouldn't want to be ya."
Yeah, no, it's great. I love it. It makes me so happy when I hear that. Because he was so little. Now he's like a monster.
But should I replace it just for season five with you singing The Season of Us? Or can you get Yosef to sing It's the Season of Us for the outro?
For next episode, I will try and get him to sing it.
Okay.
I wanted him to drop like just an amazing take he had last weekend. And we're going to do a Banana Minute about it. But he was not around today when I got back.
No, so I relate to being busy. It's summer. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to get them to get their attention.
I mean, they have school through June 30th, so I don't know where they are. But
do you wish you were in Rob's sister Nina's boat, school year all year round?
No, it sounds very confusing. I never know, like, so they have like 2 months on, 2 weeks off, or no, I do not wish for that, honestly.
Okay.
As a kid, also, it gives me nightmares. First of all, I looked for. They have, you know, the camp I went to that my dad still works at, they call it 10 for, you live 10 for two. Like, you spend your whole 10 months.
Yeah, that's a common camp.
It is? So,
yeah.
So it's like, you know, they're you know, spending 10 for two. Like, imagine if it was like 6 weeks for 1 week off. Like, I don't know. To me, that would be rough.
Yeah. Well, we're coming from a very privileged / Jewish perspective because, like, it's good for people who wouldn't go to camp or childcare.
No, I don't think I think as a kid, I would not like it, even if I wasn't going to summer camp. I think you need
Yeah, but I'm talking about like actual mental stimulation, social stimulation, education. Like, it's probably it's good to have like public care.
Sure. No, they could have like a school that also serves 12 months a year, like in the summer that you do fun things instead of homework, you know.
Well, is that the case? I don't really know the deal. I just feel like I remember Rob.
I don't think
that,
so.
Like,
it's probably class. I have no idea. We get on like the dean of North Carolina students and ask them.
It feels like more of a run-up idea. All right. what do you think of this move? So you live in, an international flight away from your parents.
Yes.
You let's say you have a big birthday party coming up. Mara flies your parents in as a surprise. You like this, or you want to be prepared when you're
Want to be prepared. In fact, my parents have, by the way, my parents have surprised us here before.
They've surprised both of you.
Yes.
They intend to stay with you when they do that surprise, or no?
No. Okay. They don't usually stay with us. they surprised us on Thanksgiving 2 years ago. First of all, I know they don't listen to this. I want to like get on the record now because I'm turning 40 later this year. No surprises. I do not want, like, my parents flying in. I do not want anything like that.
Okay. So why? Do you have, like, a general...
I don't like surprises. I don't want a party. I don't want, like... First of all, here's the thing. If you did, like, you're throwing a party for me, the mayor is the you in this case. Like I don't know. I don't know who you're going to invite. If you don't invite the right people or you do something and, like, I wouldn't have done that. That's not fun. I just don't want it. And I don't like being center of attention.
One of my favorite things that happened is we had a my mom threw a surprise birthday for my dad's 60th. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, looking back, like, so grateful that she did that because it was like all of his friends in the room and we made speeches. I made a speech. My brother made a speech. I made a speech or whatever. And I like flew. I was a senior in college. I flew in as a surprise. Like, that was really great. Like, my dad, like, later made a comment, like, one of his favorite musicals of all time is Carousel, and I don't know if, like, Lincoln Center, like some place in New York was doing some like special limited run production of it. And it like coincided with his birthday. And he like made some joke that wasn't a joke not long after the surprise of like, yeah, no, that was great. But what I really wanted to do was see the production of Carousel.
Oh,
that
man.
I didn't see. Like, he didn't say it in a bad way. Whatever it was funnier. But like, it definitely wasn't like an execution of his wishes for his birthday. But it was a nice thing that happened.
Yeah. I have a friend who threw a really nice birthday like thing for their significant other and said, was this your best birthday ever? And he gave like he said no and told like a bad story about what something else that was. And it was very rude.
Oh, well, no, that wasn't this vibe. Also, my mom had a surprise 50th for him. And the instruction was everyone has to dress like Bill. He dressed like very sort of like khakis and a blue blazer was like his sort of standard issue uniform. That was mm-hmm. like his casual.
So everyone had to wear khakis and a blue blazer?
Well, or just like dress more than you would. Like, he wasn't a real jeans guy, like that kind of thing.
Would you call like preppy? Would you call him? Like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
And he like button down shirt, like that kind of thing. Collared shirt, mm-hmm. golf shirt was like sort of this casual wear. Mm-hmm. And he always had a camera, especially like when he was 50, it was whatever, 2000, like the 2000s-ish. Mm-hmm. So he always Cameras had like a camera big. Around his neck or like camcorder, whatever. So he walks in, he's surprised. It's at my house, my mom's house, whatever, their house. And one of his first comments was like, everyone looks great. Like, he didn't get that they were like spoofing him. He just That's saw funny. Like, wow, he's people like, really
You slobs should all
smart.
Dress like this more often.
Yeah, exactly. But now my mom has a big birthday this year, and she has made multiple comments to the point where now I actually can't comments that she doesn't want to surprise. And I'm like, well, then you should have thrown dad two surprise birthdays on his big decade birthdays. Hypocrisy.
Doesn't want to surprise meaning you're allowed to like throw. Can you organize a nice party with her friends and family?
No.
Oh, so she wants nothing.
She has to be involved. No. Like, she has to be very, very involved. Right, okay, like that would be, that's sort of all I was going to do, maybe max surprise level would have been like, give me a list, tell me when you're free, like you be a part of the date and you be a mm-hmm. part of the guest list, and then I'm taking it from here. I would never do like a cold surprise.
But she won't even let you do that.
Oh, hell no. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's easier on you. She could do the planning.
Oh, you think, Akiva, that that's easier on me? It'd be easier for me to be completely in charge. It's much more difficult. My mom is the type of person who will ask you for restaurant recommendations. I live in New York City. I live in the theater district. She wants recommendations for restaurant. I'll give her 5-6 recommendations, different price ranges, different food, locations, whatever. Doesn't want any of them, comes back. Like, that, like, she, to work with an opinionated person who's going to veto everything is much more difficult than if I could do it myself.
Fair enough.
All right. Should we just
What's
end this
week's
podcast?
Episode of New Girl?
Yeah, should we just wrap it up?
We could talk.
This is the season of us, meaning we're only talking about ourselves.
That's true, not of them. But is there anything? Quick things. Are we going to see more Cece's mom? Yes. How many times? I'd say over 4.5 more times.
Will I tell you? Would you believe me, Akiva, if I told you that we discussed it 2 episodes ago and I told you the answer?
I believe it, but I don't remember. I remember the conversation, but I don't remember the answer. What if this is it? What if we never see her again? She's not a famous actress, right? I forgot to check IMDb for who's who.
Yeah, played by Anna George. I looked into the history and not, you know, and New Girl was like her third known for, so.
Okay, fine.
What's funny is you actually guessed correctly how many times we'd see Cece's mom, so I confirmed it.
That's what did I say, 4?
But now you have no recollection.
I got to go back and binge NGOG season 4.
Well, then you'll get to hear your son say, see ya.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
We actually meet Schmidt's groomsman, which I really like this as part of it, because I do feel like in a lot of sitcoms with a big principal cast, you could really rely on just Winston and Nick being the groomsmen and not really pulling from anywhere else. And we see the return of Rob Riggle back as Big Schmidt, groomsman number 2. Mm-hmm. We see Nelson Franklin back sort of inexplicably as Robbie. Cece's ex, groomsman number 4. And then we get a message from Coach. He doesn't show up, which maybe lends credence to your theory that the split was not amicable of Coach leaving. But I believe the introduction of Jay Cronkite Valley Forge, played by Fred Melamed, who's the CFO of Associated Strategies.
Yes, and he says we're going to get more boom boom than TNT. Something, I don't know what it was, that it was funny.
Yeah, he's recently divorced, got his eye on the boom boom.
Mm-hmm. More than TNT.
Do you think we see him again?
Yeah, I think so. It'd be fun if we don't.
It'd be fun if we don't. Yeah. But I like this. I like that we see a fully fleshed out bridal party.
Yeah, I like yeah. it. I agree.
I also love the callback of Winston. Like, no, don't be impressed by me. Like, were you at her last wedding? Like, I did the badger prank. I generally don't like bringing up prior failed marriages at your current wedding mm-hmm. events, but
big faux pas.
I did like the idea that, like, see, you know, Schmidt's friends and family are here, and I'm gonna use my credentials. Like, I'm gonna reference something that you were there for. Remember when I ruined the last wedding?
Why was and we have no reason why Cece's mom wasn't there?
Although I guess what I just said didn't make any sense because it was Cece's wedding, not Schmidt's, but regardless.
No, I hear what you're saying, but so Cece's mom comes for an engagement party when she doesn't approve of the match. When she maybe did approve of the last match, I don't know.
It's interesting because there's a few holes, like a few things that don't hang together, right? Like, the only reason that you could maybe justify not going to your daughter's last wedding is it happened kind of quickly, and maybe it's like expensive to fly from India and it happened quickly. COVID. But at the end of the episode, we find out that they're going to have to pare down the wedding because they don't have money from Cece's mom, suggesting that she's got money. So
well, maybe
she
paid
would
for
be
the first
fly.
One. It was a flopperoni, and she's. It's about true she was there. We just didn't see her, or it was established she wasn't there.
Well, she wasn't like a part of the getting ready with Cece. Like, she wasn't in any of the like scenes where she and Jess are together.
Matter?
Like, when she gets the henna on her face, and mm-hmm. you presumably if her mom was there, like,
yeah,
that would
but
be, I don't know. If
but it... presumably her mom would be at her wedding, so maybe, you know, she was in a bad mood or something because that's just who she is. But isn't it more realistic that maybe she was not at the henna than not at the wedding?
Yeah, it's possible she was there and we didn't see her, but. She did have a bachelorette party that her, like, aunties were at.
That's true. Not the mom. But she lives in India, so.
But I think so did the women that were at Cece's bachelorette. Like, that was the premise. They were, like,
but maybe
in town.
They live in a city with, like, a direct flight. Who knows?
Yeah.
Trying to give the benefit of the doubt here.
Well, like, that's what I'm saying. I feel like it's a rushed wedding. She didn't have time to fly in. But, again, mm-hmm. it's, like, it's not just that she paid for the first wedding. Like, Schmidt and Cece have this like mood board for their wedding, and then they pair it back at the end to just the housemates because they're gonna. And Cece says, like, now we're not gonna be able to do everything we want because we don't have my mom's like support.
Right.
So, and presumably, she thought she would pay for this wedding too.
And Cece's dad situation, do we know it as of right now?
I think Cece's dad died when before she met her as a kid, right? Because isn't she like. Expressing like sadness with Jess
yeah,
in one of like the
right.
kid flashback
yes,
scenes.
I think you're right.
Something like that. What do you think about the range of pranks we see that Winston's done? We see he either goes too big or too small.
Yes.
Here we see him go too small with a Ticklefoot. But I guess in the past he has registered Nick as a sex offender, which I don't believe is how that registration works. I don't think you could just sign up.
Sign somebody up.
It's not like a magazine subscription. Like, that's a known prank. Like, you mm-hmm. sign, like, someone up for
right.
50 magazines.
12 CDs
magazines.
For $1.
Wow, don't tee me up for an inappropriate joke there by saying CDs and, like, it's casual. I hope I remember to edit this out.
Yeah, I'll leave it in. It's great.
All right. What do you think of this whole storyline we've kind of talked over, left out, where Nick kidnaps another Indian woman
yes.
From the airport, mistaking her for Cece's mother?
Pretty funny. You know, he didn't realize that Cece's mother speaks English. This woman did not. There's no resolution to that story, right?
Well, I think she adjusts to it. She when she dances with Mahatma Gandhi, she seems pretty comfortable in her kidnapped state.
Yes, that's true.
You'd think there's someone at the party potentially, like maybe somebody in the dance troupe that could communicate with her.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Doesn't seem to happen. There's also like technology, right? So,
Phones? Yeah, she could have called somebody.
yeah, I did like the one thing I liked about it was that it was pretty stupid, but I liked the telegraphing where like Jess is on the phone with him and she's like, "Oh, put Mrs. Parikh on," and Nick's like, "You can talk to her," and then like Jess has to go. So it's like we're sort of like setting this up, but he's got the wrong woman. But you know, another like stupid flub up from Nick. I like the concept that they're going to, you know, sort of remake what happened with Cece's mom, that Cece's dad's parents didn't approve of her, and then until sorry, Cece's dad, nope, Cece's dad's parents did not approve of Cece's mom until they saw her dancing. So, of course, they're going to have the man who is too white to marry her daughter, Schmidt, dance with an Indian dance troupe to win her over. It shockingly does not work. I don't get what Nick is doing there. Like, Nick is like, I'm going to support you and do the hard stuff by making it more of a joke.
I mean, does he make it a joke or is he trying his best?
He might be doing his best, but who cares if it's undermining the dance?
Right.
I did love Winston like dancing on to try to get the fake Cece's mom off the stage, and he's like, "Oh yeah, no, keep going, I'm dancing," and, like trying to pull her off. Some very funny moments, I think,
No, it's a
provided
good
by
episode,
Winston.
honestly.
All right. Regardless, Cece's mom. We end the episode where Cece's mom is standing firm, is not giving Schmidt her blessing. We do have Winston Schmidt saying, "We're gonna win her over. Don't worry." Right before the prank is laid or revealed, I should say. You think we're going to see a lot more of Cece's mom? Do you think this is like a continued plot point, or is like, are we done with her? She's just not coming to the wedding, and that's it. Schmidt and Cece are living in a
Can you
mother
spoil me
may
on the two
sin.
episodes ago conversation? Because I don't remember.
Well, I want to hear your answer to this, and then I'll tell you, right? Because if I say she's in no more episodes, I think that ends the story.
Yeah, I think no, because
Although
she
we could always
leaves.
get a phone conversation, right,
Right.
that we
Yeah.
only hear one side of
True.
like,
True.
oh
True.
yeah, you approve.
I think she leaves it open ended. She's like not happy, but she's not like, I approve or I am disgusted. Go away.
But you think we see her again
Yes.
to continue the story?
Yes.
Okay, I will tell you that you will see her at least one more time.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I agree. I think if it was like they never touch this again, this is like a big violation of Akiva's rule, which is if the story is not resolved, then you're not done with the character.
Yeah, no, I would be upset. I think it would be disrespectful to the audience.
Also, a little unrealistic that like Cece hears that she's getting flown in by Jess and Schmidt for an engagement, her daughter's engagement. And instead of calling Cece to be like, what the flip, she takes the flight. That's also a little surprising. You think you'd call her and be like, you're engaged?
Right. Yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense.
But again, oh, loose premise, but I think good episode.
I agree. Plot more than vibes, but yes.
Yeah. Vibes supplied by Winston and Winston alone. And if you're not into the prank Sinatra, no vibes. All right, let's get to the guide. Chloe G says, Akiva, what classic engagement slash wedding sitcom tropes do you predict will occur?
Wedding or engagement sitcom. The cake. Something ha funny happens with the cake at the wedding.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else, like a lost ring,
You can
cold
have that.
feet.
Cold feet has happened a lot here.
We're reintroducing an ex-boyfriend. Maybe there's Robbie stuff. Like, what's he doing there, really? I
Right.
feel like there's got to be something there. And then Chloe G also says, Keith, did you pick up on the hiding of Zoe's stomach? So this is actually the first episode where Zooey Deschanel is pregnant in real life, and we start hiding it obviously on New Girl.
Yeah, I sort of realized not about her stomach, but she falls down, then they have her sort of separate from everybody in a bed, and then going to the elevator, and those were probably filmed like before or after, not with the rest of the episode. I assume that means she'll be in less of the episodes possibly for the next little while. But yes, I did pick up that it was just so out of character that I figured she had to be pregnant or actually hurt or something like that.
Interesting prediction. All right, we'll see. Tight 45 minutes here, Keeve. If you want to leave a question at Lash Tweets, it's in the pinned tweet. If you want to follow Keeve, you can do so at Keeve26. Follow me at Lash Tweets. You can check out New Girl. Nope, you're already checking that out. You can check out the challenge wrap up. If the teaser at the beginning about Danny got your attention, Danny's listening. Why aren't you? RobinsOlesite.com/challenge feed. We announced there that not only will we be wrapping up that season, I think there's two more episodes, something like that, but Brian Cohen is putting together a crack panel to discuss the Vanderpump Rules scandal of it all. We will be getting together Haley Strong, myself, Brian, TikTok Nicole, potentially Brian's wife, Emily Moses Cohen, to talk about the finale of Vanderpump Rules and the three-part finale reunion.
Is this on the Bravo feed?
It will be on the Bravo feed, robinsolesite.com/Bravo feed. And Kiwi, what's going on your neck of the woods?
Jewish matchmaking with on
your offering?
Netflix. Yes, oh, okay. I'm doing Jewish matchmaking with Robin Chappelle and Nothing But Netflix. Myself and Sasha Joseph went on. Had a lot of fun there. 32 fans. We got fun stuff planned this week. A really fun episode, I think. And Robin and Kiwi need a podcast. We also had Sasha Joseph and Kristen McGinnis on to talk about weird habits that people have. And I thought we had a delightful time.
What's one weird habit? Can you tease?
A guy said his wife and kids all pick their nose. That made me laugh.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like everyone, he's surrounded by nose pickers.
I don't have a problem with picking your nose in private. I find that a disgusting habit to do in front of somebody.
Yeah, disgusting. It makes people very uncomfortable.
Okay. Season 5, episode 2, New Girl, Kiwi called. What about Fred?
Who's Fred?
You tell me.
I don't know. My boss until recently was named Fred, and I told him.
Did you change it?
I mean, no. I moved apartments. I told him that when I was first remotely working for him for like a year and a half, 2 years, and when I signed on, I thought he was like a 70-year-old man because like how many Freds are there who are younger than me? What about Fred? Who's Fred?
I feel like I'm being like a real so-and-so today. I'm telling a lot of dad, like, did he change it? Like, you'd be like, I got a haircut. And I'm like, just the one? Like, I'll give you a hint about who Fred is, Keith, because if your prediction is it's about Fred, you're right. It's about Fred. Fred is going to be played by a guest star. It is guessable. The guest star is guessable, though I don't expect you to guess it. If you think about...
Is that what guest star stands for? Short for? Guessable star.
If you think about... We should really be calling guest stars host stars on this podcast. So it's guessable if you think about another sort of recent addition to the cast and a connection they might have.
Very late at night, and I feel like I've been awake this whole time, but now this is hurting my head to think.
Okay, but let's think about it. We've only been on for 50 minutes, so I haven't taken that much of your time.
Okay, no, it's not. I mean, I'm not blaming you for it being late. I don't know.
Who's sort of newer to the main... Ooh, I always mispronounce that word and misuse it. Who's sort of recently a part of the main...
Oh, I don't remember. It's been a while. We didn't do a podcast for a couple
of weeks. Who are characters that are new? You've talked about her repertoire quite a bit. You're familiar with her work.
Oh, Zoe Lister-Jones?
No. I wouldn't say she's a part of the main oeuvre.
Yeah, so I don't know.
All right. You were closer with your guess that you just randomly threw out.
Okay. I'll keep me in suspense till next week.
All right. There's something. But do you have any idea who Fred the character is, what his connection to the group might be? A little prediction.
I don't. I really don't. The wedding DJ.
Okay. Do we see a wedding DJ next week? New girl,
probably a little early,
old guy.
Oh, who on the episode we didn't do?
Oh, right. We didn't do any of the stuff. Well, producer Kelly and Matt Stewart have given up on us. No, not really. But so I didn't have any listener submissions. So I forgot. You love how I like to blame somebody else.
No,
right
it
away.
Is their I fault. Producer Kelly.
Now that's more your thing, blaming other people. I don't love to blame the people contributing.
But you
work
see
to
it. Yeah, you see it. Now I do it, and you're like, ah, oh, this kind of feels nice. Like,
no, myself. I clock myself immediately and take ownership. Doesn't feel nice.
It was because it is a producer Kelly. Like, you know.
I think the Uber driver probably won the episode. What an unbelievable clock.
Yes. I will give my episode win to, it can't be Jess. She broke her leg. It can't be Cece. Her mom doesn't approve of the wedding. It can't be Schmidt. He's being not approved of. I think it has to be Winston for becoming a hero.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask you if you had any thoughts about like the longevity of Jess's injuries. Like, is that going to be a plot like throughout? Next, what,
I think
4
they
weeks?
Will keep coming up with reasons why she's, you know, not in scenes with people. That's what I think.
Interesting. Okay. I agree that Winston won mostly because everybody else lost and he seemed pleased with his prank at the end. Mm-hmm. But like he does have the hero edit, although he's rejecting it. But like Nick literally kidnapped a woman. Schmidt got stone cold rejected by his hopefully future mother-in-law. Cece maybe is experiencing some relief that her like biggest secret is out. So like she's barely in this episode, so I can't give her the win, but she probably is coming out the best because like at least Kat's out of the bag for her. I'm sure that's been weighing on her. Jess is broken. That's gotta be tough. So yeah, probably Winston by default.
Yeah. I mean, the only other option is Nick. We got asked to be a best man. Nothing else really.
He kidnapped someone.
Yeah, but he gets away with it. Think about it. That's winning behavior.
Mm. I mean, I'm not going to dispute it if you want to give it to him. But that's not winning my award.
I mean, it's a tough week, but no, it's a clear Winston win. That's why they call him Winston. Dad joke.
All right. My hot moves, Keeve. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
See you on the one video.
Ali and Akiva. Gonna talk a TV show and maybe Jenny Garner, so don't go.